time is.
It's Pastor Adam's podcast.
Hello, everybody. Pastor Adam here, back for the weekly devotional podcast, even though it wasn't last week. I know you guys are like, what was going on? What, Wednesday? No Pastor Adam's podcast? I know. Guess what? Busy. It's busy times here. Holy Week. I know. Who would have thought? You know, I had a Good Friday worship night I had to take care of, so I had rehearsal that Wednesday night. I had to get things for there, then a rehearsal for Easter on Thursday, then the worship night on Friday. Saturday, I was still thinking about what was happening on, what was going to happen on Sunday for Easter, making sure I knew all my parts, difficult songs, all sorts of stuff. So I was like, you know what? We're going to put a pin in the old devotional podcast, focus on the things coming up. So that's what I did. So I apologize I wasn't here, but we all made it. We all lived to see another day. So, you know, Easter happened. The worship night happened. All went well. Excited. Good stuff. Hopefully, wherever you're at, your Easter went well. But with Easter, you know, being over for this year, not for good, but just this year, this past Sunday, hopefully you didn't miss it, didn't sleep through. I think that we can all say that Easter Sunday is a celebration like no other. Why? Glad you asked that. Because number one, the tomb's empty. It's a big deal. Number two, Christ is risen. Even bigger deal. And with that, you know, all that fanfare and that celebration that we have of that, We see that the church is filled with different people, you know, people that we've seen, maybe we haven't seen in a while. We have new and returning faces, many who haven't even been in church for months or maybe even years. But guess what? They show up on Easter And they're drawn to church on Easter for a multitude of different reasons, possibilities, you could say. You know, some is tradition, maybe some's curiosity. Maybe there's like this quiet longing for something more in their life, so they come to church, right? And I think it's fair to think there are a good number of people out there who are feeling lost or hurt or broken or feeling some sort of way, as the kids say today. And they think, why don't I go to church and see what it's like? Maybe they've exhausted all their other possibilities or all their other solutions that they've come up with. And they're in a place where they just go, let's give this guy named Jesus a chance. And that's why they're at church. I don't know. So let's take a look at some of the reasons, like the tradition. Maybe some people go because of tradition that they have. For some reason, people go to Christmas and Easter services via tradition when they don't even really have a relationship with God. But somehow they got in this tradition of just going, like, you know, putting up a Christmas tree, buying gifts at Christmas, or putting out the Easter eggs. For some reason, it just became a tradition and then they go. But whatever reason that they have, church services are big at Easter, heavily attended. And in my opinion, Easter Sundays are powerful Sundays. And it's good. It feels good to have, you know, a house with full, you know, filled to the brim with multiple services. Makes it feel good when you're up on stage. I'm just talking from what I see. And it just, again, brings the celebration to a grander level. So we have this Easter service that's awesome. We feel good. We see new people, returning people, for whatever reasons. But what happens after Easter? What happens when, you know, the attendance drops from, you know, that big Easter service or services? You know, the crowd's thin. There's less of a celebratory feeling, you know. When that happens, what is our role as followers of Jesus? And the answer is found in Acts 1:8. After Jesus rose from the grave and before he ascended to heaven, he gave his disciples a mission. That mission is, you will be my witnesses. Not just on Easter morning, but every day after. And not only those who are near, but to those far off across neighborhoods, communities, and nations. So let's read that whole scripture in Acts. So it's Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's Acts 1:8. So you see, the resurrection, which we just celebrated this past Sunday and Easter, it wasn't the end of our story. It's actually the beginning of the church's mission, the beginning of our mission, because we are the church. So what do we do after Easter? I'm going to answer that today, hopefully. What should we be doing after Easter? So I got bullet points here. So number one, we're supposed to live the resurrection daily. May sound weird. How am I supposed to live the resurrection daily? That's a crazy statement. I know you may be thinking that, but what I'm talking about is let your life reflect the hope of Easter. Still might be like, still don't know what you mean. Well, in our daily lives, live with joy, compassion, peace, and purpose. And that should, you know, separate you or mark you or us as resurrection people. That means you need to be someone people are drawn to, not just on Sundays, but in everyday moments. So for instance, yesterday I was sitting at my desk preparing what I was going to talk about today, right? And I heard a man walking around in the hallway with the facilities people. And then I heard him talk about me. And he said that my dog had gotten out one day and he picked her up. And she was way heavier than he had expected. Because she is thick. She's a thick Basset Beagle, right? Pretty heavy. I gotta agree. And I knew immediately who it was because I've heard that from this guy, right? And he walks by and I see that's my neighbor from a few houses down. Now, I don't really know him. I say hi when I see him and I've chatted with him like two or three times about his garage specifically because it's like packed to the gills with woodworking equipment. And he's always like, my wife has too much junk. And I'm like, this whole garage is your stuff. Don't try to pull that. And he was like, you're right. But in the conversations that I've had, I've been polite, I've been nice, and just kind of hang out with him and be someone that, you know, he's like, it seems like a nice guy. He goes to another church where he seems like he's pretty involved in. So he knows that I'm a pastor at Point North, but he was in the parking lot here for some reason. I don't know, maybe he goes to Planet Fitness or something. And he saw our maintenance guys. And our maintenance guys are super nice. They're men of God. They love the Lord. And they struck up a conversation with him. Next thing you know, he's in the building taking a tour of the place. When I saw him, you know, knowing he's a handyman or whatever, I asked if he was, I'm like, are you going to be working with the maintenance crew or something? I didn't know if they hired another person or whatever. And he's like, no, I was just outside, saw the maintenance guys, started talking to him and asked if I could see the inside of the building because I was always curious what it looked like and what it's like. So my whole point is this experience with me, you know, my wife, my kids, even my dog, as well as the open and friendly personalities of our maintenance guys, they allowed him to, you know, seek out or experience what our church building is like. I know it's not the same as like a church service, but I can't tell you how many times I've been around other churches and other church people where when they find out that I'm not somebody who could possibly attend the church, they're not super nice. They're not friendly. They don't have an open attitude. So we have to set ourselves apart from the world and live the resurrection daily and be the people that, you know, God calls us to be. So that's one. Second thing we have to do after Easter. Number two, follow up with grace. So reach out to those who came to Easter service. That's what I'm saying. Now, the church's responsibility, if we receive a connection card or whatever your church calls it, where they fill out their name and information, we have to follow up and do all that. But most of the time, the church doesn't get a lot of these things from new attenders because they're afraid they're going to be spammed or pressured or whatever. So we don't actually get a lot of info. So that means it kind of falls on the congregation. So if you know a visitor that came on Easter Sunday, you should reach out to them and follow up. But it's also important you don't make them feel guilty for them, for their absence or whatever, like forever how long it's been that they've been at church, or maybe this is their first time, right? You shouldn't be like, "Hey, Steve, saw you at church. Yeah, what has it been, like 5 years since I saw you last? Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't catch fire." Like, that's just not gonna, they're gonna be like, "All right, you know, you might think it's funny, but they're like, hey, guess what? I'm not coming back," that kind of thing. Instead, celebrate their presence by inviting them back. Say like, "Hey, it was great to see you. Love to stay connected. How can I pray for you?" Things like that. Or you can say, "Hey, we have this other event coming up," whenever it may be, and invite them to that. And it's easier to get someone to return by doing that than, you know, guilting them or making fun that they don't go to service, you know, that kind of thing. Third thing to do, make space for questions. Now, here's the disclaimer. This is after you've, you know, followed up and you're hopefully living the resurrection life daily, you know, by being different from the world. So this one, making space for questions, is based around how, you know, many visitors are seekers. You know, they're seeking, they're unsure, or maybe hurting, like I talked about earlier, looking for that thing that's going to fill the void that they have in them and comfort them. So with that in mind, be a safe person for them. And I know that sounds just like a woke term, a safe person, but invite them to a coffee or a small group, whatever, and create opportunities for them to ask real questions. And even if you don't have the answers, tell them, let's find out what the answer to this is together. And so it's like it pulls down a wall, right? Allow them to hear the gospel in a personal way through you or a small group or something like that. Now, with those first three things to do after Easter, if you do them by living the resurrection and you're following up and you're making space for questions, it'll automatically put you at number four. And that is to be the church, not just go to church. Easter Sunday is a day that we celebrate. Being the church is a lifestyle. So you got to serve your community. You got to love your neighbors. You got to show up where people are. The mission field is literally a conversation away. So that's number four, be the church. Not, and also, this is where a lot of people fall into. We have our church persona and our world persona, and a lot of times those are different. We can't do that. That's not good. That's half in, half out. You got to really jump to the be the church, live the resurrection daily, right? Next, number five, pray and prepare. Pray for those who came on Easter. Pray that seeds were planted and that their hearts are being stirred. Ask God how you can play a part in this journey, and be ready to share your testimony, your time, or maybe even your table by inviting them to dinner or whatever like that. And even though I put pray and prepare as number five, it's the easiest and most powerful thing we can do is to pray for others. God wants to hear from us, but he also loves for you to be praying for other people to come to him. And I put it last, so maybe by the end of this list, if by chance you were like, "I don't want to do any of these things, Pastor Adam suggested," that maybe when we got to the prayer, you'd be like, all right, I can do that. I can do that one. Now, that's not to say I'm okay with you just praying. You need to be doing all these things. But just like the new visitors at church, I'm extending grace, giving you time to, you know, get all five, get all your ducks in a row. You see, and be, to be, you know, living the resurrection. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm living that resurrection. But seriously, think about this. Jesus didn't rise so we could keep the good news to ourselves. He rose to give us life and to send us out as witnesses of his love. In 2025, with the world more connected than ever, but also more isolated than ever, you could also say that, people are searching for meaning. They're searching for truth. They're searching for community. Easter may have been their, you know, their entry point, but your love and your invitation and your consistency will be what leads them to Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to work through you. You know what I'm talking about. So church, listen to me. Let's not pack away the good news of the resurrection with all the Easter decorations that we put away, hopefully by now. Let's live it, share it, invite others to it, because he is still risen. And the mission, it continues for us. So, yeah, nice short one for you today. Hopefully you got something out of this. Hopefully you will look at those five things and you will, if you're not doing it already, you'll start, you'll live with the resurrection, and you'll follow up with the newcomers. You'll provide space for questions, and you can pray for others and all that. So you have a good one, and I'll see you next Wednesday.